The credit crunch. A credit crunch is a liquidity crisis. It means that banks become nervous about lending money to each other, and to personal and business customers. Where they are prepared to lend, they charge higher rates of interest, to cover their risk. The result is a big fall in the supply of credit and an increase in the cost of borrowing. During the boom years of 2003 to 2006, and the first half of 2007, credit all over the world was at its cheapest point in history. In 2003, the US policy interest rate was 1%, and even after a series of rises over the next 3 years, peaked at 5.25%. Similarly, UK interest rates were between 4% and 5% during this period. This cheap credit boom spurred a rise in both UK and US house prices fueled by subprime lending. This involved mortgage lending to ninjas, that is, lending to those with no income, no job or assets. They were unlikely to be able to repay the loan made to them, and would have been rejected by traditional bank managers, but as house prices were rising, this did not worry those making the loans. On default, the bank in question took possession of the house, which had risen in value, and they sold it on at a profit. This strategy was immensely profitable for banks, yet it relied on rising house prices, and it came to an end in 2007, when the US housing market began to decline. When subprime mortgages were defaulted, the banks now took on a debt instead of a profit. This could have been an almost uniquely US crisis, except for the fact that US banks had not kept all these mortgages on their balance sheets. Securitization. The mortgage securitization business took mortgage loans and packaged them up as structured investment vehicles, SIV. These were then split both geographically and in terms of quality, so subprime loans from California could have been in the same package as a more traditional loan from Illinois. These SIVs took on many names, including collateral debt obligations, CDO, and mortgage-backed securities, MBS. They were often given AAA ratings by credit agencies, as the historical models used to predict the probability of all the mortgages defaulting showed that this was extremely unlikely. This meant that subprime mortgages were thought to have the same likelihood of default as the US government. These SIVs were then sold globally, for millions of dollars, as safe investments that yielded multiples of US Treasury bills. This meant that investors from Switzerland, say UBS, could have had exposure to the US mortgages market, lending to debtors they had never met, who had little chance of paying. This pushed the global financial system dependent on the US housing market. When the price of US houses began to fall, it was not immediately clear to those who held MBSs that the value of their asset had fallen, as the market was illiquid and opaque. It was not until subprime defaults became more frequent that their value was written down. When investors came to sell them, realizing that the subprime market had collapsed, no one wanted to buy them, as they could see the impending fall in the US housing market, so their value was suddenly drastically lower, which surprised large investment banks, who were then forced to write down their assets and declare huge losses. The fall in US house prices meant that banks became unwilling to lend to ninjas again, and credit became more difficult to obtain throughout the financial system, even in the wholesale markets, as banks were unsure about who had the ability to pay back loans. The first noticeable casualty was Northern Rock, which in September 2007 was nationalized by the UK government. This was because its business model relied upon borrowing money in the wholesale markets and lending it on to consumers at a greater rate of interest. This strategy unwound when their stream of cheap credit dried up, and they were forced to ask the Bank of England for emergency funding, which caused a run on Northern Rock, from which it never recovered. Many UK banks had invested large sums in subprime-backed investments, and have had write-off billions of pounds in losses. As the market for securitized loans seized up, the credit crunch occurred. Good value mortgages have become more difficult to find as borrowing rates have soared. Lenders now demand much bigger deposits from people wanting a home loan. Fixed interest rates on mortgages have risen. Falling share prices in 2008-2009 hit people with money invested in pension funds. Macroeconomic consequences of the credit crunch. The whole world economy has been affected by the credit crunch, and it is a great case study in how economic and financial developments in one country can affect the economy of other nations. The world economy is highly interdependent. The fallout from the subprime crisis for the United States can be seen in this chart showing average house prices. Rising mortgage defaults created a problem of repossessed housing and fire sales of properties, which led to excess supply in the housing market. Falling prices have reduced wealth and led to an increase in negative equity. Bad debts from toxic mortgages led to enormous write-offs and huge losses for many banks and hedge funds. As the credit crunch gathered momentum, in the autumn of 2008 the U.S. investment banking industry all but collapsed. Lehman Brothers went bust in September. Bear Stearns was sold at rock-bottom price of $2 a share to J.P. Morgan. Merrill Lynch was bought by Bank of America, and the U.S. government nationalized mortgage lenders Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, as well as introducing an enormous bailout program for the toxic securitized loans. The steep fall in housing demand has led to a sharp decline in construction output, with hundreds of thousands of jobs lost in construction and other related industries. 101B1C1D, 282B2C.